Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 12 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 23. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Lord, we stand before you needy. We stand before you sinful. God, I pray that you'd help us today. Help us as we preach the word of God. Lord, would you allow the Holy Spirit to open our ears? Would you open our minds and our hearts to the truth that you have for us today? Lord, would you allow the Holy Spirit to do what I cannot do? And would you meet the needs of every person in this room, please? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a very interesting passage. If the average person, and I'll use a term here, the non-churched person would pick up 1 Corinthians 12 and read it, they'd say, what in the world is that doing in the Bible? But I think I can help you with this passage, and I think I can help us as a church. I think I can help our visitors that are with us from other places. I called today's message, Heal Our Body Aches. Heal our body aches. As we get older, the pain on and the pain in our bodies increases. Amen. Those of you that have arthritis, you're feeling it today. Say, how do you know? Because I got it. I know. You know, you get to a point in life where if it doesn't hurt, it quit working. You know it's still working because it's still hurting. Amen. Oh, my soul. There are untold thousands of kinds of pain relievers on the market today. You go to Walgreens, you go to CVS, you go somewhere, and there are sections of nothing but pain relievers. Amen, Brother Ron? There are thousands and thousands of different kinds of prescription painkillers. I did just a little research, and it's not exhaustive, but last year, there were over 181 million doses of pain relievers prescribed. That's enough for 60% of America took a painkiller last year. That's 6 out of 10 people took some kind of pain relief last year. Say, that's a lot. You're right. Sin has caused our bodies to break down. See, had Adam not sinned in the Garden of Eden, our bodies would not go through this series of pain that we go through. Sin has caused the pain of aging. Each pain is a reminder of our sin. Just like ladies or men, if you work in the garden, every one of those weeds you've been pulling this summer is a reminder of your sin. Every time something hurts, it's a reminder we're sinners. The human body is really an amazing creation. Think about this. It breathes. Most people can think. Hears, digests, pumps blood and life, and sees all at the same time simultaneously. It does far more than that, but it does those major components on a regular, you know, you ate enough food this morning to take care of a major restaurant. Your body is digesting food, your heart is pumping blood, your ears are hearing my voice, as well as things going on around you that you're not even understanding that you're perceiving, as well as you're smelling things, you're tasting things, you're hearing things, and all those functions are going on simultaneously. You're breathing and you're not thinking about it. Aren't you glad you don't have to think about every breath? Most of you would die a long time ago. Oops, I forgot to breathe. It is a well-tuned machine. It is so fitly put together that there is not a machine, not a creation that is any better put together than man. It is faster and has more memory than any computer in the world. You realize that the average person only utilizes about 4% of their brain. Some of you are far below average. Can you imagine if we could utilize the other 95%? Can you imagine what man could do? Now, it is faster than any computer. It has more dexterity than any robot has. My dad has worked a lot with robotics in the car industry and things, and the human body is by far better than any robot ever created. It has more dexterity and more ability to do more operations at one time than anything in the world. Look what God has done. It amazes me, though, how one small little glitch can cause so much pain. Have you noticed? And I won't ask this question, but if you've ever had a kidney stone, you know what I'm talking about. You feel like you got a 600-pound boulder coming down the hatch, amen? And when that thing comes out, you look at that and say, that's all it was? That caused so much pain? I'm thinking, you know, I've had five of those things. Say, how many is too many? One. I tell people I've had five and that's six too many. Because I have the fear of the next one, amen? You know, something so small, the size of the head of a pin, can put you in the hospital and put you down that fast. It's just scary. Got to tell on myself here. My wife and I were dating. We may have been engaged. I don't remember. It was so long ago. It doesn't matter. Amen. But we were dating and we were in Bible college, and you would park in the parking lot, and it was, good 300-400 yards away from the main building there. And I had to leave one evening, and because I lived at a place called Baptist City, which is about 4 or 5 miles away from the main campus. And it was still part of the dorms, but a bunch of us men lived out there. Thank God for that. And I was headed back to my dorm. It was on a Saturday night. And it was one of those cold Indiana, wet, wintry, half snow, half ice, blowing kind of nights. You know, you're a tough guy when you're in Bible college. You don't need a coat. It's 20 degrees outside. Who needs a coat? Amen. And I decided I'm not going to wear my coat. I'm just going to run out to my car, run back, get in my car, and drive to the dorm. I started running. I got out the building, went down the sidewalk, got in front of the dining hall, and just as I got to the edge of the parking lot, I hit a patch of ice. Now, there's nothing more awkward than somebody that thinks they're tough hitting a piece of ice. It's like a calf with new legs, you know? I started, you know, doing all those kind of shenanigans. Brother Hawkins, some idiot put a parking block right there, and I hit that first one with my big toe. And I mean to tell you, I kicked it with everything I had, and I went down. I ripped my britches from shin all the way up to here, tore holes. I mean, I was going at a good clip, you know. I ripped those things, and I hit the ground thinking, oh my, did that hurt. I couldn't even stand up, Brother Hartman. I could feel my foot swell like that. My shoe was getting tighter. I'm thinking, now what? I'm trying to get back up. I go to put some pressure on that foot, and it was like somebody shot hot venom from my toe clear up to my brain saying, don't do that, stupid. Thinking it's okay. I hobble over to my car. I got in. I had a little 1981 Escort, a little four-speed Escort. I got in. Did you ever try to drive a stick shift with one foot? I got back to the door. I didn't have, it was my right big toe, and I couldn't even push the gas pedal. My foot hurt so bad. I'm thinking, is all I got to do is get back to the dorm. So I'm trying to work a clutch and a gas pedal with my left foot. You know, this is not a good thing. I finally got that thing down the road. I'm hopping. I parked across the street, hopped all the way to my dorm room. I had to bang on the wall to get one of the guys in the next room to come over and get my shoe off. I couldn't get my boot off. Got that thing off, and my toe was about that big around. Say, what'd you do? Nothing. Put it up, put some ice on it. Say, did you go to the doctor? Why? I'm a man. Don't go to the doctor. I have time or money for that. Man, I got up the next morning. My foot throbbed all night long. I barely got a shoe on the next day. As a matter of fact, I took all the laces out of it and put it on there, and it was not doing well. And that thing's just a throbbing. I made it through Sunday morning church. I got back to church Sunday night, and finally I couldn't take it. Called my mom and dad, and I said, I think I got to go to the hospital because this thing, I'm sure, is broke. My foot was black all the way up to my ankle. I thought, this is not a good sign. If it turns black any farther up, it's probably going to fall off. I better do something. I went to the hospital that night, and I had cracked the very end bone on my big toe from the top left corner all the way into the joint. Not a good thing. Now, wait a minute. That's just a little bone. But my whole body was affected by that one little bone, let me tell you. I thought it was all over. I thought my foot was going to fall off. Didn't know if I'd ever walk again. Now, I did, but it was just one little crack. It didn't even break it in two pieces. It just cracked it. But, man, you talk about hurt. It hurt bad. God tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that we as a church make up what he calls the body of Christ. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully here. Denominationalists and Mr. Schofield have screwed up the teaching of the body of Christ. All believers don't make up the body of Christ. There's not some universal body, some universal church. My body doesn't make up your body. Those are individual bodies. Grace Baptist Church is a body of Christ. But Grace Baptist Church and Brother McCullough's church, I forgot the name because I'm preaching right now, but Brother McCullough's church doesn't mean that the two of us together make up the body of Christ. No, that's their body. This is our body of Christ. Amen? Just like you have many bodies in your family, you make up one family. And so God's talking about the local organization of the church, and he said that we make up the body of Christ. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing to help or hurt your body? What are you doing to either help or ensure the health of, or how are you hurting the body of Christ? What kind of pain is Grace Baptist Church in because of you? What kind of health is Grace Baptist Church in because of you? I will give you, I think, five principles today that will help you, not just physically with your body, though it will apply, but I want to apply everything spiritually to our church today. Number one, all body parts need to be in the right place. All body parts need to be in the right place. Folks, if your body parts are in the wrong place, you got troubles. I'm going to tell on myself, my son. We got some toys in for youth. Well, he got some toys in for the youth activities this summer. Well, one of them, we had to buy a wiffle ball bat. And you can't just buy a wiffle ball bat. You got to get one of those plastic balls that come with them, you know, because it's all one unit there. Those things are sitting in my office one afternoon, and I got a little restless. I said, come on. He was standing in my secretary's office, and I'm hitting it through the doorway. I said to myself, wait a minute. I got a huge room over here. I said, Josh, come on, let's go hit a few. He said, all right, Dad. You know, boys and balls go together, amen? And it's father-son bonding time. Let's hit something, amen? Either rise, kill, and eat, or hit it with a bat, amen? But we're going to do something. So he's throwing that thing at me, and I'm zipping a few up, hitting them. I said, okay, one more, and I'll let you hit. He gave me a waist-high pitch, amen? And it was outside. I got the bat turned. I started turning the hands over that bat. It was a beautiful hit, Brother Hawkins. The only trouble was he was only about 25, 30 feet away from me when he threw it. His nose was in the way of that 5'4" line drive, and I hit it as hard as I hit any baseball in my life, let me tell you. He didn't have time to put his hands up. He didn't have time. He just about got his head turned, and that thing went crack right on his nose. And the ball literally went from where he was in the middle of that room and hit the wall in the air. Not a good thing. I look up and he's going, ooh! I thought, I hope that wasn't his teeth. I paid $5,000 for braces for those stupid things. I walked out to him and I said, you okay? And he pulls his hands away and he's got a puddle of blood in his hands. I looked and it's just pouring out his nose. Not dripping, pouring. I said, come on. He said, I think I'm going to pass out, Dad. I said, no, you're not. You're going to walk with me. I'll hold you up. We walked to the bathroom. By the time we got to the bathroom, this is no lie, Brother Gus, he had a puddle of blood inside his shirt at his elbow from it running down his arm. He better be glad it wasn't a hard ball. Guess what? He wasn't sure if all of his body parts were in the same place. Amen. It was not a good thing. Guess what? No wiffle ball activities. He looked at me. He's finally getting the blood cleared out of his hands and stuff. He's like this. He said, Dad, I guess we're not being able to play wiffle ball this summer, huh? I said, mm-mm. My insurance man won't allow that. Amen. Now, wait a minute. It didn't break his nose, just the blood vessel in it. Amen. He ruined a beautiful home run hit. I just want you to know that. Now, wait a minute. If you had body parts in the wrong place, you would say something's not right. Something's unusual, and you're going to struggle in life. If your feet were on your arms and your hands were on your feet, you'd have troubles. Now, some of you act like that, but those are called seventh graders, and it doesn't matter. If your mouth were where your stomach is, and your stomach was on the outside of your face, you'd have troubles. You say, that's ridiculous, Brother Bush. I know it's ridiculous, but this is what God's talking about. If your heart was where your brain is, and your brain was where your heart is, you'd have troubles. You say, not me, I know, and we won't go there. Can I tell you something? You need to settle into your body and grow with it. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't get mad at me. Your body parts don't need to be jealous of each other. Your body parts don't need to be jealous of each other. Do you know that your eyes are not supposed to be jealous of your feet? Aren't you glad you don't walk on your eyeballs? And aren't you glad your eyeballs don't smell like your feet? You say, Brother Ed, that was not the time to say amen. Oh, you know, aren't you glad that your eyes don't have to chew food and your mouth have to see? Aren't you glad God put your head on top and your feet on the bottom? and not the other way around. You know, what a wonderful way to look through life, you know, with your feet on top. Now, wait a minute. Why do we want someone else, what someone else does all the time? I don't understand that. God gave you a body. He gave you a certain part of that body to perform in. Guess what? Just settle in and enjoy it. That one little toe bone, Brother Matt, that got cracked. It didn't mean a whole lot to me till I cracked that thing. I didn't realize how important your big toe was. Break it one time, you'll find out. I'll promise you. Folks, you say, well, I don't have an important part. God didn't put any spare parts in there. None of them are unimportant. You have 206 bones in your body, and I don't care who you are. You break any one of those bones, it's going to hurt. And by the way, every one of them are fit together so that the rest of the body can function appropriately. Why do we have, and listen to me carefully, thank God for Melissa and singing that beautiful song this morning. But God didn't make all of us to sing beautiful songs in church. Amen, Brother Barnes? God didn't make all of us to stand in church and sing. Amen, Brother Buck? Because if so, I ain't doing my part. Yeah, buddy, I'm the first one to amen that one. Now, wait a minute. God didn't make everybody to do that. But God also didn't make everybody to work in the nursery. God knows I'm not doing that. I didn't change my own kids' diapers. I'm not changing your kids' diapers. Now, wait a minute. God made some of us to teach. God didn't make everybody to teach. There's people in here. If I gave you a Sunday school class, you'd leave this church because you're not going to teach. And by the way, that doesn't mean they're bad people, just so you know. That doesn't mean they're not spiritual people. They just don't feel like they can teach. And I understand that. I've got men in here. I've got several men in here. If I asked you to come up here and pray for the offering or to pray to close a service, you're going to leave this church because you just don't want to do that. And by the way, that doesn't mean they're not spiritual. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's some people aren't comfortable speaking publicly, and I understand that. That doesn't mean that everybody has to do that. Now listen to me very carefully. This is a statement. I'm going to read it to you so you don't get mad at me. Some people want to amputate themselves because they have an infection. And God wants to heal them with the balm of Gilead. Some of you think because you got an infection, you need to amputate yourself. Just because it's infected doesn't mean God can't heal it. And by the way, have you noticed nobody is totally germ-free, pain-free, infection-free all the time? Guess what? Our church is going to have ups and downs. Our church is going to have owies, boo-boos. I had a visiting family this morning. They had to leave after Sunday school. They made it for Sunday school, not church. Amen. How many did you pick up this morning? Seven? Something like that. Five, six, seven people. And they had to leave after Sunday school. But as they were leaving, they said, I'm coming back, Brother Bush. I watched three of them walk out during Sunday school to take phone calls. That's okay. They'll learn. Turn your stupid phone off. Church is more important. Amen. You say, oh, they didn't know how to act. Did you the first time? I know people who grew up in church that don't know how to act in church. What's the difference? You know, why do you want to amputate yourself because there's a problem? I don't understand that. Can I tell you something? We're all sinners. And just because you're not hurting today, hang on, tomorrow's coming. And the one that's hurting today is going to feel better and help you tomorrow when you're hurting. It's our job to rush to each other and help us through the hurts, not decide, well, I have a finger that's hurting, so I'm going to cut it off. I wouldn't have any fingers left. So, well, I've got a... I had a hip disease when I was a kid. I have the hip of about a 70 to 75-year-old right now. Believe me, I can tell you, it's going to rain in the next 24 hours. It feels like somebody's got a knife stuck in there, and it's one of those serrated ones, and they're just twisting it all the time right now. And I do know that feeling. But may I say this, just because it's hurting doesn't mean you cut it off and throw it away. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of attached to it. I don't want to get rid of it. Not one of those things I'm enjoying the thought of, amen? You know, it beats the alternative, no leg. Now, some of you think because somebody has an owie that we ought to cut it off and throw it away. I don't live that way. I believe God can heal it. It might take some time. It might take a little bit of work. It might take a little effort. It might take everybody else gathering around them to help them. But guess what? God can heal that. It doesn't need amputated. Number two, your body needs a good diet to stay healthy. Don't worry, I'm not going to meddle too much. Matter of fact, I might make somebody mad at me right now, but okay. Folks, I'm for eating healthy. Now, just so you know, I'm not Yul Gibbons, and I'm not going to eat tree bark and drink pond water. Okay? You can have all the grape nuts you want. I'm not eating them. Okay? Say why? I'm not putting milk on nothing. I'm for eating healthy. I think we ought. And I, by the way, I'm for just eating. Amen? Now, wait a minute. I understand there are some people that your body dictates a little more, that your diet's a little bit more sensitive. And I understand that. God didn't make me to be a vegetarian. He made me to eat meat. Amen? And even God said that, just so you know. He told Peter, arise, kill, and eat. He didn't say arise, pick, and eat. Boy, that's good preaching. I don't care what you say, man. I'm going to preach you the Bible whether you like it or not, amen? What's that verse in Proverbs, Brother Jerry? Even a dinner of bitter herbs is better than a stalled ox. Wait a minute. When he said that, he said, that's the lowest on the food chain, amen? Them herbs are low on the food chain. It's not high, okay? Can I tell you this? And some of you, this is what you're going to get mad at. Some of you think what is healthy isn't healthy. You got the people that say, oh, medical marijuana is a wonderful thing. It's sin. It's wrong. It's wrong. Well, it's all natural. Listen to this statement. Some of what people say is all natural, you wouldn't have it without the fall of man. Most of your GNCs and other health food stores, if it wasn't for weeds and thistles, wouldn't have anything to sell.
That's
right. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Weeds and thistles were part of the curse.
Amen.
Not part of God's creation.
Yes,
now, if it helps you, take it. I'm good with it. Okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't take vitamins. I'm not saying you shouldn't take supplements. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to be a little healthier. But you want to tell me that this is God's way and you're doing some kind of black seed thistle and this, that, and the other thing. Guess what? That came because of sin, not because of God's creation. Just so you know. Man, I feel all alone right now. You also need spiritual food to stay healthy. Can I tell you something? I think you ought to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You eat three meals a day, you need three spiritual meals at least a week. I think you ought to be in Sunday school.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with eating an extra meal, amen? I think you ought to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now, I realize there's times you're sick because you didn't eat healthy enough. there's times you've got to work and other things, and I understand that. But I will say this. I think we ought to be there as much as we can be there. If you only ate one time a week, how healthy would your body be? Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
If you only ate food one time a week, you say I do, from the time I get up to the time I go down. But if you only did that once a week and never ate again for another 7 days, guess what? You're not going to have a healthy body. You need more than one church service a week to be healthy. You need a balanced diet. By the way, I do my best to feed you a spiritual balanced diet. I realize I'm not the most wonderful preacher in the world. I'm not trying to be the greatest preacher in the world. I'm trying to give you the greatest truths in the world. It may not be packaged in a way you always enjoy. It's not always packaged the way I enjoy. But may I say this, it is a truth that we need. I don't like cooked vegetables any more than anybody else likes cooked vegetables, but I still eat them whether I like it or not. Now, not all of them. I'm not eating boiled cabbage. That's nasty. I'm not, what's those little cabbage, those artichokes and what? Brussels sprouts. God have mercy. Yes, sir. Something that slimy and looks like a ball did not intend to go down, okay? Mm-mm. I'm not eating, you know, there's some things I'm not going to eat. Now, kids, if mom and dad tell you to eat it, you're going to eat it just like I had to when I was a kid, or hide it under the cushion and have dad find it later and get beat for it. But guess what? It is what it is. Now, wait a minute. I may not like everything I eat, but I still eat it. And it's not because my wife can't cook it. Do you know you need to read your Bible daily for spiritual food? Some of you are starving yourself spiritually because when's the last time you read that book? You know, you need to pray to stay strong spiritually. You need to talk to your God to stay strong spiritually. When's the last time you prayed? Oh, I know, when you had a problem. Could be you're having so many problems because that's the only way God gets a chance to talk to you. I don't know about you. I don't like being on my back looking up saying, oh, God, I need your help. I learned a long time ago, Brother Ed, it's easier to say, God, I need you before the problem than it is when I got the problem. It doesn't hurt quite as bad. Number three. This is where we're going to separate the Baptists. You need to exercise regularly to stay healthy. Lord have mercy. I did not want to put this point in my message. You know that you've got to work at keeping active? Brother Brining, he and I were talking this morning. He said, Brother Bush, I remember the first time I ever saw you. He said, you were in a barber shop, had a stack of books with you, and was waiting to get your hair cut. He said, you just never stopped. He said, 11 years later, you still haven't stopped. I like that. I want to be known for not stopping. My kids call me the Energizer Bunny. I hate to sleep. Sleep is a waste of time. I only do it because I have to, not because I want to. Amen? You say, what can you do when you're sleeping? Nothing. That's what bothers me. My mind is always working. It's always busy. Can I tell you something? You need to stay active physically to keep your body going. Those of you that you're getting up in years and it's harder to get around, you know what I'm talking about. It's harder and harder to stay active. Can I tell you something? Walking is exercise. Yeah, but it's too hot. I know. I went out with my wife yesterday on a walk at 6:45. I was melting off the calories too. Amen? I don't always enjoy it. I bought one of those, ellipticals, you know, one of those kind of like a walking bike that you stand on and move your arms and your legs. You say, why? Because I don't want to get fatter. I'm trying to work it off. Amen? You need to sweat. That's healthy. You know, when water comes off your head like that, that's not a bad thing. That's called good. It's real good for you. Hey, boys and girls, guess what? You're supposed to learn how to work and work hard. Oh, it's hot out. I don't want to go do that. Guess what? It'll make you feel better, I promise you. Where's Alex at? He's back there. He was out helping Jimmy and his mama and daddy yesterday. They were out mowing the churchyard. Boy, there's a lot of grass out here. Amen. And I was so proud of him. He had a weed whacker that was about three times as big as he was, but he was working that thing. Sweat running off that boy. Then he picked up the thing that you blow the sidewalks off and stuff. He had a hard time getting that thing started. I said, my turn. Hang on. Pulled that thing, handed it to him, and off he went. Sweat dripping everywhere. I was proud of that boy. Give me a boy willing to work and sweat, and I'll show you somebody's going to do something with their life. America is lazy. By the way, video games are not exercise. Some of you have the strongest thumbs in the world. Do you know that you need to exercise spiritually to stay healthy?
Oh, that's good.
Yes. Can I tell you something? Going out and knocking on doors telling other people about Jesus Christ is spiritual exercise. It's called soul winning. Some of you are, and don't take this personal, but we get fat and lazy spiritually because we don't do anything with what we have. We come and get, and 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 do nothing with it but come and get. And God wants us to exercise it and use it to help somebody else. Are you going to help somebody else? You know, when you help somebody else, you're exercising. I had a family call the church this week. They were going through a tough time. Man was homeless with his family. Listen to this. Pulled himself up by his bootstraps, Brother Mike. Moved to this area. Got a job. He's riding a bicycle back and forth to work. I like that. He said, Pastor, he said, somebody hit my bike, trashed it. He said, it's gone. He said, I've got a couple miles to go. He said, I didn't know what to do. Listen to this. He said, I walked out of my house and said, God, I've got to have some help. He said, and I looked down and there was a gospel tract from your church on my porch. He said, I spent the last 12 hours wondering whether I should call you. I said, you called the right number.
Amen.
I reached in my pocket. I pulled out the $40 he needed to get a bike that was down the road. Took it to him that afternoon. By the way, it wasn't church money. It was mine. Say why? Because I wanted to help somebody.
Yes.
And they were in church this morning.
Amen.
But I told him, I'm not giving this to you for you to come to church. I don't care if you come to my church or not. I want to help you. I want to be an answer to prayer. Amen. Now listen to me very carefully. Maybe there's a nursing home out there and there's somebody you're supposed to love. That means you got to get up and go do something. Do you know there's a lot of lonely old people that have nobody to care about them? By the way, they're closer to heaven or hell than any of us. For some of them, it's the last stop. And I don't mean that unkindly. I mean that earnestly. It's the last stop. Some of you need to volunteer to serve. Some of you just need to decide, okay, I'll work in the nursery. Man, we got a lot of papooses here. How many is in the? There was at least 14 or 15 in the nursery this morning. Shoot, we could start a church with our nursery. Good night. Y'all are part Baptist, part Catholic or something. I mean, there are babies flying everywhere. Some of you need to just decide, okay, I'll volunteer. I'll take a turn. I'll do my tour of duty. Some of you need to decide you're going to help clean. Some of you just need to decide you help pick up trash. Some of you, I got some men and they help us in the parking lot. You say, well, I wouldn't mind doing that. Okay, volunteer. Go see Brother Sliwa. He's not going to tell you no. It's not a matter of we have too many people working. Some of you just need to volunteer and say, Brother Bush, we're starting to get a bunch of new converts and they need picked up. I don't have a bus ministry yet. Amen. It's kind of hard to have a bus ministry if you're not sure if you have a building yet. And I don't want to be unwise. By the way, where are we going to put them? We're coming. We're going to get there. It's coming. Trust me. We'll have a fleet of them. It's coming. But wait a minute. Some of you need to volunteer. Some of you are mad because I don't have a bus ministry, but you only brought you two to the church this morning. I need somebody to go and volunteer and say, Brother Bush, if you got converts near where between where I live and where church is, I'll pick them up on my way to church on Sundays. They ran Pentecost without a bus. Somebody had to bring them. Everybody doing okay? Some of you just need to volunteer to bring people to church.
Amen.
Moving on. Number four. You need regular checkups with the doctor to keep your body healthy. Men, that means you too. And a regular checkup is not an autopsy. That's in my notes, just so you know. An autopsy is not a regular checkup. Can I tell you something? Some of you are so against doctors that you're going to die early. Now, I don't think doctors are God. They don't know everything. But may I tell you this? God gave man the intelligence to invent some of the things we have. Thank God for modern technology. Had it not been for that, I probably wouldn't have my little girl today. I know I wouldn't have my oldest son. He was on life support for 3 weeks when he was 4 months old. My daughter had petit mal seizures for years. God used medicine to help her in Johns Hopkins University Hospital, amen. She had choked on a piece of popcorn when she was 11 months old. And for 7 months, they couldn't find out what was wrong with her. They went in with a bronchoscopy and found out that piece of popcorn blocked off half of one of her lungs and went in and popped that thing out of there without opening her chest. Thank God for modern technology. You know how many times I've wondered how many people have died in the past of weird things and they could never figure out what it was. It could have been a piece of popcorn. I'm not kidding. Weird stuff. Now, wait a minute. Some of us need to realize we need to go get ourselves checked out from time to time physically. But may I say this, you need to go to the doctor spiritually. Some of you trying to go through life without going to the doctor spiritually. And I realize I risk this coming out wrong, but God gave every church, every body, a pastor. That's the doctor to help everything go well. Means you ought to seek advice before you make major decisions. Say, well, what's a major decision? I think I know what I'm doing. That's a major decision. If you have to say, I think, you probably ought to get some advice. You say, well, you're just so busy, Brother Bush. I'm never too busy to help people that have needs. Never. Say, well, it's just a small thing. It's not a small thing to me. One of our good men this week texted me and said, Brother Bush, he said, you know, I need a little advice working on something. He said, it's just such a small thing. I was able to respond to him fairly quickly. It was just an activity he wanted to do with his family or something, and I had an idea or two, shot it right back with him. You say, that's such a little thing. Give me a holler. I want to help. I want to help. Do you realize I live my life to help you through your problems and needs and wants and desires? It's what I live for. That's why this brain never shuts off. It's always thinking about it. Believe me, it never shuts off. My daughter, I said something to Mrs. Brining this morning. I said, yeah. I said, if we could do this, it'll save me because sometimes on Sunday mornings, my mind is going so fast, my daughter says, what do you mean Sunday mornings? It's that way all the time. Now, wait a minute. I'm trying to help. And please allow me to say this as kindly as I know how. Be careful going to other doctors or dial-a-doctors. Some of you try to use the internet as your doctor guide. Not a good thing. Can I tell you something? If you need a specialist, I'll help you get to the specialist. I mean that. I know when I'm in over my head. I've been in the ministry 25 years. Believe me, there are times where I don't know what the answer is, and I'll tell you, I don't know, but we'll find out together. I'm not afraid of that. I respect a doctor that says, ooh, this is a little out of my league. Let's get some other help. But may I say this? Some of you go to doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor to find the pills and the problems you want. If I visit enough doctors, I'll find the doctor that I want to agree with. Y'all doing okay? B- be careful listening to dial a pastor. Wiki pastor. That's the way some of you get your doctrine. Some of you are listening to dial a pastor or listening to, you know, WRN pastor. You believe whatever says Christian is the way it should be, and it's not right doctrinally sometimes. Well, it was a Baptist. I know a lot of Baptists I disagree with. I agree with some Methodists more than I do some Baptists. I don't care what the name is. Everybody doing okay? Some of you getting your doctrine from the wrong place. Don't get mad at me. Some of you are going to a witch doctor. And I'm not talking about for your physical needs. I'm talking about spiritually. Some of you are listening to people that are influenced by the devil himself. And you don't even know it. I better move on. Number five. Realize your importance to the rest of the body. Realize your importance to the rest of the body. You say, well, I just come to church and I don't do much here. Yeah, there's a lot of bones in your hand. I think there's something like 21 or 22 bones in your hand, not including your fingers. Carpals and metacarpals. Do you know if you break one of those, you're going to find out how important they are? Most of the time, you don't even know they're there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You got a bunch of bones in your feet, tarsals and metatarsals, not your toes. You break one of those bones, you're going to find out how important they are. Do you know you have bones in your ear? The smallest bone in your body is in your ear. But if you don't have it, you're in trouble. Matter of fact, you break it, you might not even be able to stand up because it affects your equilibrium. You see, you don't know how important you really are to the body of Christ. Who are you to decide how important or unimportant you are? When God said in 1 Corinthians 12 here, why does the eye say to the foot, I have no need of thee? And if we were all an eye, do we have a body? Or if we were all a foot, would we have a complete body? Some of you think the whole body is you, and it's not. Man is so proud, so arrogant. Not all of our body parts are on display as being the comely parts. By the way, some of them need covered up in our society. Say, well, I don't feel important, so I don't have an important part. You don't know how important to the rest of us you are. You tear one tendon in your shoulder, you'll find out how important it is. It'll affect your whole body. And some of you are detaching yourself. Some of you are because you don't think you're important, decide, well, I can just do it my way then. And you're hurting the whole body. Well, the body may get along without you. You know, there are some people that have to have a toe or a foot or a leg amputated. They still function, but guess what? Not at a level that they were intended to function. Brother Ron's not here this morning. Brother Ron McFarland lost his leg in a car accident. He still gets along pretty good, but guess what? He wishes he had both legs. He does pretty good on one. I got to rip him off ladders because he tries to go up a ladder with one leg. Not a good thing on insurance. But may I say this? Look what he could do on two legs. Though you might function without it, you're hurting the rest of everybody else. By the way, some of you can't afford to amputate your brain. You say, well, I could get my heart replaced. Yes, and you need Dr. Jesus to do it. He'll give you a new heart. Say, oh, you're the brains of this organization, Brother Bush. No, I'm not. My Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. Say, what part do you play? I don't know for sure. I believe maybe a pastor might be the heart that keeps everything pumping, to keep the life flowing through the whole body. that's as close as I can come to tell you, but may I say this, I'm not worried about what part I am. I just want to do all I can.
Amen.
You're going to wear everybody else out because you're not doing your part. My doctor told me when I was going through this hip disease that I had, he said, young man, and I was about 8, 9 years old, he said, eventually, you could have trouble. You're going to either have arthritis in that hip, you're going to have troubles with your other leg, or you're going to have back problems. I got them all. I was lucky. I got all three, amen? By the time I was in my 30s, I had to have all the cartilage taken out of my right knee because of the damage that was done from my hip problem. I have other body parts that have worn out because of the problems I had with one. All of the back problems and 2 blown discs in my back due to the fact of carrying that stupid brace around, and all those things wore out long before they were supposed to. Got torn out of whack because I had one problem over here. Everything else on the other side started having troubles. Can I tell you something? Some of you are going to spiritually cause others to wear down faster, and our body won't reach its potential because you're all the time wanting to give up. Every part's there for a reason. Whether it's big or small, prominent, or not even seen. All of us need to do our part. How many of you had your wisdom teeth out at some point in time in life? Amen. People will tell you that wisdom teeth are not important. That's not true. Talk to any dentist. If you didn't have your wisdom teeth in your mouth, your whole mouth would not come together like it should. Though they may not come through the right way, they keep everything in line in the process. So they serve a purpose. Can I tell you something? Quit trying to compare yourself with other parts of the body. Quit trying to think of how important or unimportant your part of the body is and just serve its function. Some of you are a bone in the body where nobody even knows it's at and don't realize how important you are. And because you're not the mouth or the eyes or the nose or the face or the arm or the leg or the foot or the hand, you just want to give up. Some of you are supposed to be in one certain spot, and because you want to be a more prominent figure, you're going to hurt the body. Can I tell you something? God says, why don't you just be a part of that body and give it all you got? Give it all you got. Say, well, what is it? Don't worry about what it is. Just perform your role. And as God gives more, you do more. That's all it is. Some of you might not even be saved and you're not part of the body. You're trying to perform in a body and you're not even part of that body. And you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. We can take care of that today. The water's warm, amen? Tied under the Lord's Supper table right now, but it's warm. Some of you might need to just decide you're going to join the church. Become part of this local body called Grace Baptist Church. Some of you just need to decide you're going to stay a part of this church. And I'm not mad. I realize things happen. But listen to this statement. Some of you just need to decide you're going to lock in, load up, and give it all you got. God will move you when it's time. You'll know. And by the way, if he does, I'm happy for you. I'm not mad at anybody. I just want our body to be as strong as it can be. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, the piano will play. We'll stand to our feet. We'll have the invitation. But who would say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Who'd say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure. But I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right, we got a couple little ones. who'd say, Brother Bush, maybe I just haven't been satisfied with my body. I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about your spiritual body. And you need to do some work on yourself. Say, Brother Bush, there was something in that sermon today that God spoke to me about today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands.